lift up the King. Everything that we say ought to lift up the King. Every thought that we have ought to be subject. Every action that we have ought to be subject to the authority of the King. If you went to Great Britain tomorrow, there are things that you would not be able to do because it is under the leadership of a queen or king. There are things that are guidelines for that country that when you're on the street, there are things that you cannot do. You can never talk negatively about the king or queen because you're subject to the authority to operating under them. And so this psalm looks at the occasion of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the place that they had prepared for it. And you all know, if you don't know, the Ark of the Covenant was where God had put his spirit inside of it. And the Israelites moved the Ark of the Covenant around wherever they were because they always wanted the presence of God to be with them. And to the point that that a temple was built for the Ark of the Covenant, and so that this was a place where it was placed so that anybody who wanted to know where God was could go to the temple. Now, the wonderful thing about what God has done today, that he has removed his spirit from the Ark of the Covenant because of the Savior Christ and because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross and the resurrection. Because now the what they carried around with them in a ark now is in the believer. And so what was precious to the Israelites that the presence of God was with them, and therefore they moved the Ark of the Covenant around, you now have the presence of God in you. He's in me. And I believe the purpose of this text is to lead the believer to glorifying Christ above the external ceremonies of the church. But I believe God is calling us to live a faithful life in Christ as the church. And so you have individuals, you know, during the season that we're in, everybody's doing a lot to make everybody else happy and excited about the process of Christmas, of celebrating Christmas. But the reality of it is that Christmas started with individuals who knew that the King was born. That Jesus, even as a baby, the Bible says that he was a king, that those who came to see him wrapped up in swaddling clothing in a manger, they worshiped him because he was the king that the Father has sent to save the world. Amen. That's why they call him Emmanuel, because he is not the God who is in an ark. He is now the God who is in covenant with us. He is the God who is with us. That's why the angel Gabriel told Mary and Joseph to name that baby Jesus. Why? Because he would come to save the world. Amen. And so we give a lot of glory to other things during the season that we're in. And we don't really lift up the King the way that he deserves to be lifted up. We must understand that the earth is his, and by his power, Jesus is the undisputed King. I want to say that again. He is the undisputed King. He is the undisputed Savior. He is the undisputed Messiah. He is the undisputed God, because there's no God or anything that should be able to stand beside him and be in competition with him. But beloved, we got to pray for the church today, because we have put things beside the King of Glory, and we have made those things in stiff competition with Jesus. Oh, I don't have to go through the things that so often we put in front of us, and we make that thing our God, and we make that thing the thing that directs and guides us instead of yielding to the greater power which is in the hand of the Lord. We must understand, and he says it in verse 1. He says the Lord, it says in verse 1, that the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. You can't point at nothing that has been created and can't give the attribute to God. Even when we have troubles, as a believer, God is the one who orders our steps. And then when God brings us out, we can say, because God was with us while we were in it, we can say God did that. How many times have you been able to say in your own life when people have questioned, how did you do that? How did you move out of that? How did this happen and that happen? That you were able to say, God did it. I know it looks like I had the power to do it. And even though my hands may have been on it, the reality is that it was not me, but it was the Lord who was guiding me and strengthening me and giving me his authority and power in order to accomplish it.
Amen.
The fullness thereof. God made the earth out of nothing. It is his. He made it, he formed it, and created it for our use. God made the earth, and he made it according to his own eternal counsel. We're talking about the king this morning, because the truth is that the king can do anything he wants to do, any time that he wants to do it, and all we have to do is look around us, and we'll be able to see the handprint of the king on everything in our lives.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
If you understand that there's no king that's greater. I'm telling you, the enemy will try to do everything he can because he wants to get you to stop worshiping the king and to worship him. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Can I walk down Main Street? The truth of the matter is, when you're worried, you're worshiping someone that's not the king. When you are anxious, you're showing worship to somebody who is not the king. When you are depressed or when you are trying to figure things out on your own, you are worshiping, but you're not lifting up the King of Glory. You are worshiping something that is less than the King. And I want you to know this morning that there is no King that's greater. There is no problem that's greater than the King. There is no situation that the King cannot do something about. Glory to God. There are two things that we need to know concerning the kingship of Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at verses 7 and 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to take my time a little bit with this because it is important as Christians that we understand the kingship and the authority of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say that there is no king that is greater, but it is another thing to live out our lives knowing that Jesus, who is the King, is in charge. Amen?
Amen.
First thing. Verses 7 and 8, glory to God. Verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The question is then, who is this King of glory? The first thing that we need to understand concerning the kingship of Jesus Christ is in the kingship of Christ, we have to be identified with the king. I want you to understand something, that wherever there is a monarch in our world, the king and the queen have children. And the children of the king operate differently than the children of folks who aren't the king. The reality is that there's nowhere that the child of a king cannot go that they are then not identified as the child of the king. They can't hide from it. They can't walk around with blinders on and say, I'm going to do anything I want to do because I know I'm the king's child, but I got to live my own life. The reality is that the king's child is under the direct order of operation of the king. I know we don't like that. I know we don't want to deal with that. But the reality of it is the word king is used symbolically in the Bible to signify someone who possesses supreme authority, supreme power. Now, my question to you this morning is, what is it in your life that is controlling your life, that is directing your decisions, that is making you do what you want to do over what God has called you to do? What is it in your life? Because if there's something that is doing that in your life, then you are not identifying with the king, because the king is the one who has supreme power over you and I. And so what has power over you this morning? What is the thing that's directing your life, that is in charge? Some folks will even sit in church and be angry about something or upset about something. And if that's the case, that's what's controlling you. Some people can be in church and be worried about something. That's what's controlling you. Some people can be fearful of things. That's what's controlling you. And so whatever has your attention is demanding your action. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. In the kingship of Christ, we have to be identified with the king. Jesus is mentioned in Revelation as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is proclaimed as Jesus the King because there is no king that is greater than him. Listen, he is the wonderful counselor. He gives wonderful opportunity for the believer to lift up his name so that the gates of our hearts are then thrown open to the will of God for our lives. I'm telling you, when you understand your position under the king, your life becomes a whole lot simpler and easier. The stuff that would cause you or break you down won't break you down no more, because you know the king can handle it. The stuff that would worry you and get you all beside yourself and you trying to work this thing out and figure it out for yourself, you don't have that anymore, because you understand that the king can handle this. Whatever thing comes up against you, even if it takes you down for a moment, you understand that I'm down, but I will not stay down. Why? Because the king has the power to do anything he wants to do. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We've got to see the kingship of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you can put next to the king that will subdue his power to the point that he does not have strength to do what he's able to do. The king is the one that has the power and that has the authority. And we are blessed today because the king has given that same authority and power to us. I do this on behalf of the king. Somebody shout amen. I serve on behalf of the king. Because anybody that works in the palace ain't working for themselves. Anybody that's working in the palace is working under the authority and at the service of the king. That's why you can't get beside yourself. I want to tell you, it ain't you. We are fortunate enough to be able to serve the king, and we are serving at the king's honor and at the king's expense. Everything we have, the king has purchased for. Everything that we do, the king has ordered our steps. There are people who don't even like you, but got to respect you because of the king. King Jesus wants to rule over you. Yeah, I said it right. King Jesus wants to rule over you and I, and wants to guide you and I to live a kingdom-focused life for his glory. The Bible says in John chapter 18, verse 37, when Pilate said to Jesus, and I want to paint a picture for you, that Jesus had already went through some of the courts. And so he was with Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate is having a conversation with Christ before he goes to be crucified. And so Pilate, in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate said to Jesus, as Jesus was on trial before his accusers to be crucified, he says to Jesus, "So you are a king." And I love the way Jesus, you weren't going to mess with him and not know that he had the upper hand. Jesus then responds and answers him. He says, "You are correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into this world." And so the reality of it is that he was born as a baby, but even as a baby, he was still the king. Even as a child wrapped in swaddling clothing, the Magi knew he was a king. And so that's why they looked for him and they followed. We all know the story of them following the North Star. The Magi's followed the North Star and found the king. And the moment they saw him, the Bible says that they gave their frankincense and myrrh, but they bowed down to the king. And I know in our minds, we think a king ought to have a crown. We think the king ought to have a regalia on that makes him look like a king. Well, if that was the case, then everybody that looked like a Christian would be a Christian. The reality is Jesus came as a little baby just so that he could experience everything that we would be able to experience in the flesh. You got to know that he was all God and he was yet still all man. But he was a man who was walking in the kingship of his authority and his calling. That's why when they crucified him, Jesus could say as the king from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Only a king, only a king could make a statement like that. When the two thieves were arguing about whether he was the king or not, one of them realized and said, "Don't you get mixed up and think just because he doesn't look like a king that he is not the king." And so we've got to understand that sometimes what God will do, he'll wrap stuff up in what doesn't look like what it should, but yet it is power, it is authority, it is goodness, it is good. He'll send somebody that doesn't quite look like you want them to look, but yet they're coming with an understanding from God to pour into your life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sometimes he'll give you a job that you don't like. Come on, glory to God. Stop, turn to somebody and say, "Stop complaining." Because the hand of God's provision is still there. Even though you don't like the job, the one who gave you the job is the king.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. And so what we've got to understand is that when we identify with the king, everything that the king has, we identify with the king than we have. Look at what it says. Glory to God. Verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates," exclamation point, "and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And then I want you to understand, before they built the temple, they set up a tent for the Ark of the Covenant to be in. And as they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant, because Psalm 24 focuses its attention on them bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the place where it was going to sit. And so as David and the Israelites brought the Ark of the Covenant in, there was that David would walk in front of them, or there would be someone, a priest, walking in front of them asking the question. And so the priest would say, "Because of the Ark of the Covenant, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Because they were putting the Ark and taking it into a place where it would be or sit for a little while, or its permanent place. Well, I'm telling you today, you are the Ark of the Covenant. And so God has now brought the Ark of the Covenant into the soul of the believer. God am I, into the soul of the believer. And so now that the Ark of the Covenant is no longer needed because of the shed blood of Jesus, because once Jesus died on the cross and resurrected, the place that was the holy place, or the holies of holies, was, the Bible says, it was rent. So it was ripped in half, so that now there was no barrier between God and man. And so God has now moved his anointing out of a box into a person. You ought to shout amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
He says, "Lift up your heads." He says, "Be ye lifted up." He says, and the King of Glory shall come in. There was somebody that would shout out, well, who is the King of Glory? And then somebody would answer and say, he is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle. And so the truth of the matter is, this is not your fight, whatever you're going through. This is not the dilemma that is going to tear you down. This is not the situation that's going to give your life the greatest hell. The reality of it is once you have lifted up your head, and the gates of your soul has been opened to the moving of God, then God will fight your battles. Because he is the Lord, strong and mighty. And I want you to get that. He is the Lord, strong and mighty. He is the Lord, mighty in battle. See, the demand of the king is that there be room in the heart of the believer to do what God says. That's the demand of the king. Listen. The demand of the king don't want your money. We praise God because God wants us to be givers and to give resources that he's blessed us with. But at the end of the day, the king don't want your house. The king don't want your cars. The king don't want your job. What the king demands is you. Well, I'm going to say that again. What the king demands from those who say that I honor the king, what the king demands is us. He says, I want your life. He says, I want to fight your battles for you. He says, I want to be. I know you like him, and I know she's wonderful in your life, but I want to be your encourager.
Thank you, Father.
He says, I know you can call grandma and granddad, and they might be able to help you out a little bit, but I want to be the one that provides for you. I want to be the one that guides and directs you. And listen, if I'm your king, then let your king go to work.
Jesus.
Let your king go to work. Let your king do what you can't do. Let your king do what you've been trying to do and been a failure at it. Glory to God. Let the king begin to order your steps in the way that the king does what he does. Because the truth of the matter is, whenever the king demands something, you all know. I mean, the truth is, whenever the king demands something, if somebody is the servant of the king, when the king demands it, the servant does it. The servant doesn't say, well, king, you know, the king asks for cold water. The servant don't bring the king warm water. Why? Because that ain't what the king asks for. If the king says, listen, I need this done, then we don't go to the king, or the servant doesn't go to the king and say, well, you know, I just don't have no time to do it. I'm so busy, king. No, whatever the king directs, the good God Almighty, Lord, who am I speaking? Whatever the king directs a servant to do, they do it. Even if it looks impossible. Glory to God. Even if I don't feel like doing it. The king has authority. The king is in charge. The king is in control. What am I saying anything? I hope I'm not confusing anybody. The king has a demand. And when the king says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up the everlasting doors, so that the King of Glory shall come in. The reality of it is, you can't let the king in if you're not obedient to what the king says. Amen. And so we have to identify with the king. Verse 4 says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Help us, Lord Jesus. We have to identify with the king. Second thing, glory to God. In the kingship of Christ, we have no other choice but to lift up the king and to speak highly of the king. Amen. There are countries today that if you speak against the king, you can be jailed for life because they call that treason. And so if you say anything against the king and against the king's authority, you are punished because of that. And so the reality of it is, because we identify with the King in the kingship of Christ, we have to also lift up the King and honor the King. And so, Pastor, how do we lift up the King and how do we honor the King? We worship the King. We don't worship anything above the King. We don't let anything interfere or to be a distraction of our worship of the King. And I said last week that worship is not about music. Music can enhance it, but it's not about music. The truth is, a person who is a true worshiper is can know how to worship without music.
Amen.
And so the kingship of Christ must be lifted up and honored. Glory to God. Look at verse 9. Hallelujah. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Listen, we must understand that the kingship of Christ refers to Jesus and him alone being the Messiah whom Christians are called to honor.
Amen.
You can't say Christian without the first part being Christ.
Amen.
And so Jesus is now, and what we've got to understand as believers is Jesus is now the chief officer in charge of the believers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And so what are you saying, Pastor? You're not in charge of you anymore if you're a Christian. And if you honor the King, because honoring the King is to do what the King requires you to do. Watch this. Listen, when the King is not around, it's one thing to honor the King and to bow down when the King is there. But when the King is not around, is the servant still honoring them, not just with their words, but with their actions? The reality is that the King is here right now. The King is never absentee. The King is never at a loss for directing his servants. The King is always in control. The problem is with the believer is that we leave under the umbrella of the chief who is in control of our lives. We leave under the authority or umbrella of the chief in charge to do it like Frank Sinatra said, and to simply do it our way. And I'm telling you, if we testify today about everything that we have done our way, the truth of it is everything we've done our way has caused us more trouble, more difficulty, more challenges. It is when we turned everything over to God that it became a real, real life living experience. Because up until then, the truth is doing it our way was not the right way. And anything that's not the right way, that does not glorify God, you're going to face real difficult challenges because of it. Jesus is now the chief officer.
Thank you, Lord.
He is the Lord of lords.
Yes.
He is the King of kings.
Yes.
And listen to what I'm saying. Any doctrine that attempts to strip Jesus and his kingship away is a false doctrine. And anybody that teaches, yeah, he's my friend, he's my buddy, he's my brother, my mother, my father, but I can't focus on that above him being my King. You know, he'll stick closer to you like a brother. And that's fine when I need a brother. But most of the time in our life, I need more. I need Jesus to be more than just my brother or my friend. I need him to be in charge of my life. I've learned through my own life that I'm not a good decision maker. And I know I'm not the only one in here. We are not good decision makers, because if we were good decision makers, you'd have never had no trouble in your life based on your decision. And so I'm telling you, you and I need somebody that's going to override what we feel. We need somebody that's going to override what we think. We need somebody that's not going to allow our emotions to drive us into the ground, but will pull us up and say, you got to have more than just a feeling about this. You got to have faith in it, that you know who I am and you know what I want to do with you.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, faith your way through.
Faith your way through.
So many of us are faking it till we can make it. And I'm telling you, the reality of it is that if you are faking it, you are living in a doctrine that does not glorify the Lord, because the Bible says that he pulled you and I out of the muck and miry clay, and that he's planted our feet. And you know what a plant looks like. A plant has roots. And so he has planted our feet upon a rock. And so the truth of the matter is, either I'm standing on the rock or I'm rocky. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. And so either I'm operating under the authority. Don't you tell me the Lord told you to tell me. Listen, because the king, I got a personal relationship with the king. And anything the king want to say to me, he can say, Ed, let me tell you what I want to do. He's not going to send somebody else to tell me what he wants me to know. I know who the king is. Yeah, I'm in a relationship with the king. It's not only do I know him, but the great blessing is that he know me. And so the issue with the believer is you got to move beyond that. Yeah, the Lord know who I, the way I love the Lord, I know. You better make sure that he knows who you are. Turn to somebody and say, no other king. There's no king that's greater than Jesus. And so that's why the songwriter said, don't put your hope in nothing else but him.
That's right.
That's why the word of God says that he is the what? The hope of glory. See, and so when we understand where the king is positioned, glory to God, the king is positioned above my issues, above my problems, above my pain, above my concerns, above my accusation. The king is above all of that. And the king, oh, good God of mine, the king is not going to come down and stand beside you. The king going to lift you up to where he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've got to recognize that he is the Lord.
Yeah.
And not only is he the Lord, he is the Lord of lords. Glory to God. That's what the Bible says. Not only is he the king, but he is the king of all kings. That there's no king that has greater authority than he does. That there's no king, that the Lord, that has greater power than he has. That's why we worship and honor Jesus, who is the King of glory. As Christians, we are obligated to submit. Good God Almighty. We are obligated to submit to his authority.
Thank you, Father.
Turn to somebody and say, that's your job. I know on your job that you work on, you get to do what you want to do, and you don't know how to follow directions on your job. You keep doing that, you're going to get a pink slip on your job, and they're going to be sending you home because you have not honored, good God Almighty, you have not honored the authority of those who are over you on your job. Your job that you do, if you're not retired and you have a job, the job that you do, glory to God, the job that you do, there are some demands on your job. I can't go to my job and abuse children. Why, Pastor? Because one of the demands as a teacher on my job is to encourage and teach and strengthen and empower children. I would not have a job if I did not lean to the demand that my job requires. Now, we do that in the world. We do it in the natural. But we don't do it in the supernatural. I'm telling you, some of us in here would jump out a window if our job, somebody, boss on our job told us to do it. Now, you'd be crazy to do it, but some of us would say, hold it, wait a minute, why are they asking me? But if they ask you to do something that is in reason to what you understand, you never have a problem doing it in the natural. But in the supernatural, God puts the demand on us to do certain things, and we still do what we want to do over what God has gifted us, called us, and demands for us to do because of the gift and the calling. And so therefore, worship is not about the keyboard and the drums. If you really want to worship God, do what God says.
Yes. Amen, 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 amen.
That's a true worshiper. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so who is the King of Glory? The King of Glory is Jesus. What is our response to the King of Glory? Our response to the King of Glory is to honor him and worship him. Why should we worship and honor the King of Glory? Because we are obligated to worship him. Why are we obligated to worship him? Just look back over your shoulder and look back over your life and see where God brought you from. See, sometimes the obligation, we are forced into the obligation because God demands so much of the believer that we can't do it without his spirit. And so therefore God puts us in the tight situation sometimes so that we can look into him for our way out and not to ourselves. And so when we look to the glory of God to guide us and to direct us, there is honoring God, because all the steps of the believer are ordered by the Lord if we are going to obey him.
That's right. Amen. 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 Amen.
So the kingship of Christ, we are obligated to lift him up. And the reality of it is, we're obligated to not just lift him up in the church building. We're obligated to lift him up on our jobs. Why, Pastor? In our schools. Why, Pastor? On the bus stop, in the restaurant. Why, Pastor? Because he said if he be lifted up, whoo, glory to God. He said, not you and I be lifted up, because that's pride. He said, if we would humble ourselves and if we would lift him up, the Bible says that he said, he'll do all the drawing. He'll do all the pulling. He'll do all the attention getting. Because the truth is, when he's lifted up and his kingship is honored, then those who don't even know him, because you have lifted him up, will come and ask you about him. And don't you tell them I'm too busy. Don't you tell them I don't have no time. I got to get to this meeting. I'll talk to you later. Sometimes God, you know, a lot of times God operates in the moment. And if you miss that moment, you will miss a move of God in your life. And you say, because some of us are trying to put the honor of God on hold until we get what we get done, and then we come back to honoring God. And the reality of it is God will take what you honoring over him, because he's the God who is jealous and he wants all the attention.
Amen.
And the truth is, he deserves it.
Yes, he does. Yes, he
Somebody
does.
Shout amen. He deserves,
amen, amen.
He deserves
yes,
all
he
the
does.
Attention.
Yes, he does. Yes.
See, many people want to view Jesus just as Savior, but not as King. Now, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving us.
Yes.
But if you fell off a boat or a ship and I threw you a lifesaver and told you, grab hold to it, and you grabbed hold of that lifesaver and I pulled you out of the dangerous water and pulled you back on the boat, you would thank me for saving you. But you wouldn't call me your Lord. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. You would go and tell other people, oh, I'm telling you, that man threw me that lifesaver. I'm telling you, he saved my life. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be alive today. But you wouldn't call me King. And so he's our Savior. But he wants to be, once he saved you and I, he wants to become our King. And so him becoming our King means that we serve at the expense of the King. You're like, old folks used to always say, turn me down a little bit. Old folks used to always say, when we were growing up, that you know, when somebody, an adult or grown person, did something for you, you needed to say, yes, ma'am, thank you. Yes, sir, thank you. And the yes, ma'am, and the yes, sir, even though as children, we didn't think that was necessary. As long as I say thank you, shouldn't they be satisfied? But the yes ma'am and the yes sir would let others know that not only were you being raised right, but you also had respect for adults. And so unfortunately, we're living in a day and a time where everybody's trying to steal the glory of the King. Everybody wants to be the main man or the main woman, but don't want to do what comes along with being the main man or the main woman. Everybody wants to walk in the power of God, but don't want to go through nothing. Everybody wants to walk in God's authority and Lord, I'm going to stand strong. But yet in their own mind are weak because of their own decisions and distractions. I'm telling you, I know somebody that can do something about all of that. And I'm telling you, the King in no way will let his children suffer to the point of death. I know a King that will make a way of escape, good God Almighty, that there'll be nothing that will be able to tempt you above the power of God, because the King that I know will make an escape for you so that you can get from under that. I know a King that when you get sick, that he'll heal you. I know a King that when you don't really know which way to go and you're planning your life out the way you want, I know a King that'll interrupt your plan and put a new plan in that you wasn't even thinking about. I know a King that is greater than any problem, any situation, any dilemma. I know a King that will bless because of his saving grace. Thank you, Lord. And I know a King that will show you who he is simply because you're thirsty for him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Final word, glory to God. Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Then he says in verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Listen, God made the earth out of nothing. And based on what the scripture says, he made it out of nothing and brought everything into it. Mm-hmm. And so if God can make the earth out of nothing, what do you need him to do for you this morning? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the fullness of the earth has been developed and created by God, anything that you are in here this morning that you lack, God can fill the gap for you.
Yes.
I'm telling you.
Thank you, Father.
And if he made all of that according to his eternal counsel and will, guess what? Everything else he can do because of his counsel and his will and his wonder in your life.
Thank you, Father.
If he could do all that, then what is it that God can do for you? That's why there's no greater King. Because there's nobody that can do for you and I what he did for us. Final word.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you didn't already know, the King of glory is Jesus.
Amen.
He is the reason we can lift up our heads.
Thank you, Father.
He is the reason that we are mighty in battle.
Thank you, Father.
He is the reason we are strong. He is the Lord of hosts. And so let the King of glory come in. Let him come into your heart. Let him come into your mind. Let him come on your job. Glory to God. Let him come in your home. Listen, he'll come in your children if you ask him to. He'll come into your supervisor. He'll come into people who you don't even like if you simply would just ask the King of glory to come in.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm telling you, pound for pound. And round for round.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus is the only King that we ought to spend all of our time worshiping and lifting up and identifying with. Turn to somebody and say, He's my King.
He's my King.
And He knows me.
And
I know Him.
Come
on, let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Stand right where you are. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every hit.